Canada. This is The Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan, a Gabby Award winner. They call me Squidbilly. He is the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael. Don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. She's a tofu taster. The First Lady of Atlanta Baseball, the Queen of Improv, Miss Allie Mack. And we have, back on the ones and twos, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews. And in my mind, he's waving awkwardly because I can't see him because I am coming to you live from Dolphin Island for no good reason, just that we're down here with
Why are you whispering, the bro?
I'm not whispering.
Is it whispering? Rise and shine.
Well,
Somebody
I didn't want
to
wake
scared
up
to wake the baby up.
Well, it's not really my baby I'm worried about. My baby's tucked away a little bit in the back corner of the house. I'm on the back porch looking at the bay of, Allie, say it with me, Mobile.
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 But I am located in a different little setup. I'm on the back porch here looking at the bay. These houses, as you know, are all on top of each other down here. They try to put them right on here so they can get as many beach houses as they can. But I am in between the in-laws and my sister-in-law and her husband, my boy Jacob, and in between their rooms. And I'm closer to Jacob and Elena's room. So they probably just woke up. I'm
Allie,
surprised
like
their dog's not barking.
I feel like it's one of those movies where like somebody's hiding in the closet calling the police. You know, there's like an intruder. And you're like, yeah, somebody just came in the front door.
You know, I think I'm not as concerned about the people in your house, Bo. It's the people that are going for like the walk in the morning for that sunrise. They're going to be like, what is this guy doing? They might call the cops on you. Like, what is this? There's a belligerent man pretending he's on the radio right now.
He said in his mind, Dylan's doing a creepy wave. In my mind, there's somebody walking by outside the porch. Rise and shine. Oh, my God.
Well, if they are, they're walking in the dark.
There you go.
It's still 5 a.m. Here. That's the other thing. It's 5:06. So
there you go.
I just irritated some people.
That's how you know it's good.
But that's
time.
What I do here on a daily basis.
Yeah, roll tide.
You could say a lot of things have happened since the last time we got to talk. We were out at the Capital City Country Club yesterday. So let's run through a few headlines here. Braves beat the Nationals yesterday 11-5. They've won 9 in a row now, so they are going to finish strong. Lions beat the Ravens during Monday Night Football, sacked Lamar Jackson 7 times, final score 38-30. Georgia's annual opponents for the next 4 seasons are reportedly Auburn, Florida, and South Carolina.
Everybody else's was announced too, Allie. Thank you very much. Well, okay, it's not just the Georgia world we live in.
We'll get there at 6:40 when we get into the college football headlines. The Cowboys' C.D. Lamb could be out 3 to 4 weeks. Mike on the IR with a high ankle sprain. But, of course, we've got a lot of news coming out of Flowery Branch. The kicking competition will continue. They're bringing more guys to compete with Parker Romo. Quarterback C.J. Henderson has been released from the practice squad. And wide receiver coach Ike Hilliard has been released. T.J. Yates will assume his responsibilities. And, of course, Raheem Morris explained yesterday that Zach Robinson will no longer be up in the coach's booth.
We'll move Zach out to the field to be able to get that little cleaner communication for him, to be able to get it to him if something does happen along those lines, to be able to be more visual and see the quarterback and be able to do some of those different things, to have him have a clear line of communication with Mike to be able to help him out a little bit more. And we definitely hold some responsibility in those things, and we'll go out and do those things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where to, you know, start. I'm assuming with the Zach stuff because that's what Raheem was talking about. And look, I'm glad because I think, Mike, you can talk a little bit about these meetings. Either the quarterback coach is normally the guy that is with you the most, and your position coach, I should say. But I know the OC's in there just as much too. And you know, there was quite a few things that went wrong for Michael Penix in this Falcons offense, and one of which is this play call thing that seems to be an issue. I did read a stat where the Falcons actually get the play call off like probably better than like not half, but maybe like 8 or 9, 10 teams in the league as far as time on the clock. Some of that was was a headset issue. The referee came over the open mic and said, "Hey, Atlanta's complaining about the quarterback headset," but there probably is some stuff where they're getting it out slow too. This is a you know, Arch and I were talking. This the McVay style offense is wordy, anyways. But look, when you've got a young quarterback, he's been in 6 games. and his sixth game is his worst, and he gets rattled, and he doesn't look himself, and his everything is off. I would like to have my OC there in person to be around him. But, I mean, you could probably touch on this a lot more about how it affects the game, because I'm pretty sure Dirk Cutter, most of the time when he was in Atlanta, was on the field.
Yeah, I was trying to think back yesterday listening to this news if I ever had a situation where a play caller was on the field. I don't know that I ever did. Now, I played I played most of my football career with defensive head coaches, so that changes things just a little bit when it's a head coach calling plays like an Andy Reid, like a Sean McVay, like a Kyle Shanahan, like a Sean Payton. Those guys kind of have to be on the field, right? And that's kind of what they do. I understand, Bo, you talking about how there's, you know, we're like 20th in the league or whatever it is, 22nd in terms of having time left on the clock. I saw that same stat yesterday, and one of my thoughts was, I think a lot of that's because Michael Penix is not really doing much at the line of scrimmage in terms of making audibles or making calls at the line of scrimmage. I think most of the things that are happening are kind of coming in to his headset, and it seems to me like 9 times out of 10, the play that's called in his headset is the one being run on the field. You look at, you know, some of the Staffords of the world and other guys, they're kind of doing things at the line of scrimmage, sliding protections, making sure that they're kind of covered from that end. I think it, what it does is it takes out one level of communication. You know what I mean? If there's something that Zach Robinson wants done and, you know, Michael Penix is coming off the field or he's talking to receivers, then Zach Robinson doesn't have to talk to T.J. Yates to be able to get that done, who until yesterday was the passing game coordinator, you know, for this offense. So there are different things and different ways and different routes to go about the communication there. And Zach Robinson can be more hands-on. He can be on the sideline. He can have those communication, you know, conversations with not only – Michael Penix, but the wide receivers. And when you look at the wide receivers, and it looks like there's a lack of communication with them as well. And I know we'll get to the, you know, the coaching thing, but it just, I think there was such a level of frustration from all parties involved coming off of this game. And I'm talking about Raheem Morris, Michael Penix, wide receivers, T.J. Yates, obviously Ike Hilliard, Zach Robinson. It seemed like everybody was on different pages. And, you know, Allie, I know we'll get into it in just a little bit, but watching the film was ugly, absolutely ugly watching the film this morning in terms of that passing game. And you see some of the fallout from it coming up yesterday.
We are seeing a lot of tweets. I put out, you know, just a couple things that happened up at Flowery Branch yesterday out on Twitter. And I asked, like, just sound off. What are your thoughts on this? And Brett Wolford wrote back that, do we have a game clock manager yet? And then Tim wrote, they're going to fire everyone except Morris. And then Carlos wrote, what does the wide receiver coach have to do with anything? The QB was off yesterday. So there's clearly so much frustration happening right now.
Yeah, look, the quarterback did not play well. There's no doubt. But the wide receivers haven't played well pretty much all season. And, I guess I'm going to start with this. If we rode Raheem hard last season about not making a change earlier with Jimmy Lake. Okay, and we all knew there was a problem. Well, guess what? There's a problem with the wide receivers and the offense as a whole, and they made a change early, and now you're mad. I don't understand it. You can't have it both ways. He clearly, there's something in the building, or there's something going on that they're communicating that doesn't seem to be communicated to that room, and they think they located the problem. And they made a change. I hate it because I have had it multiple interactions with Ike Hilliard, and I'm a huge fan. Not to mention he played at Florida back in the day on that '96 championship team. But to get back to the main thing is Derwin went ahead and made a change. And look, I made the comment like you could tell the wide receivers are having issues. Mike just said it. There's something not right. There's something not working. And the guy goes, well, how do you know the wide receivers aren't running the right routes? You're not in the huddle. You don't know the play call. Well, you're right. But what I will tell you is this, and Mike, chime in on this, because I think you, even though you didn't play wide receiver, you did play a little tight end, and you probably know this. You should never have two receivers seemingly at the same spot on a route, you know, in a field. If two wide receivers converge more than once in a game, that means that they're not on the same page. And especially, and it happened in this game, where I see two wide receivers breaking in, and Michael Penix throws the out-breaking route. What does that tell you? Somebody ran the wrong route, okay? So fix it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And like I said, we'll get into tape as we kind of move throughout the show today and, you know, do some good, bad, and ugly stuff. But there were multiple times you're running – three go routes into cover three, which are absolutely blanketed. You got Pitts chipping on the way out, which he's late getting out, and he's running a crossing route into zone coverage, which is not going to be good. And then you got Bajan's the check down, and he is absolutely blanketed. It's just it's like they're running, you know, man concepts against zone and zone concepts against man, and something seems to be amiss. I'm with you on that. It's, you know, the comment that Ali was just talking about, you know, we don't it was the quarterback problem, right? Mm-hmm. It's a quarterback problem. Why is a wide receiver? If y'all think it's just a quarterback problem, you obviously did not watch what we're talking about. Darnell Mooney was completely lost on some plays. Darnell Mooney was not the guy that we've grown to love and respect around these parts, and he played a sloppy game as well. So there's Darnell, there's Ray Ray, there's a bunch of other guys that it just seems like are not on the same page going through this whole deal.
Yeah, can I? And one more thing, when you're watching this, a guy's not wide open if the quarterback's already thrown the ball. Or the ball is leaving his hands. You got to these safeties, and it happened a couple of times with Pitts. And look, I'm not saying that there wasn't moments that Michael didn't miss guys open, especially Ray on the pick six. He just skips over his read on the way to Bajan's check down. Ray Ray, who ran a little in and was wide open, But if Kyle Pitts is running down the middle of the field and Michael Penix has already released the ball and the safety and the DBs all converge on where the ball was thrown, that does not mean that Kyle Pitts was wide open on the play. Okay? Well, if that safety still in that middle of that field and he doesn't leave until the ball's gone, he's not open.
And I saw this tweet going out yesterday from a former quarterback. He was saying, "I'm going to lose my mind on the Falcons offense tape," which only made me more curious. How you two, Mike and Bo, are going to react to what you've been watching, because you two know this team better than anyone. So I want to hear what you've been seeing next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.